Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Good to have each of you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Maybe somebody shook your hand. I hope they did. Praise the Lord. Or you got a hug or something. Praise the Lord. We want to love people here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some of you probably already know, some of you may not know, since some of you were not here last Sunday. We had a little bad weather last week. And I don't mind telling you, if I'd have been somewhere else, I wouldn't have been here last Sunday either. I wouldn't have driven in that ice and snow to go nowhere. I'm staying at home, but since my walk to work wasn't very far, I didn't have any problem coming and preaching last Sunday. Praise the Lord. But last Sunday, we got a phone call. And as some of you know, that Dave's father-in-law and mother-in-law, Ayesha's mother and stepdad, he got to feeling really bad lately. And so he went to the doctor. And, of course, he's a pastor of a church. And the doctors told him he only had a very short time left to live. And so they called the kids and wanted to know if they'd bring the children and come up to see them one more time before he passed away. And so they did. Dave and Ayesha, we got the travel trailer out and everything, got it all fixed up and where they could have a place to stay because they needed a place with five children. And so they headed to Canada. And they were up there about a week or a week and a half, I guess, when last Saturday evening at 11 o'clock at night, Ayesha's stepdad went home to be with the Lord. And so the next morning, we were expecting that because we knew what they had said, but we weren't expecting what happened at 6:30 Sunday morning. Ayesha's mother passed also. Both of them went home to be with Jesus within 8 hours of each other. Wow. So anyway, Dave and Ayesha has not been here for a couple of Sundays, and they probably won't be here for several more. I mean, they got a lot of stuff to take care of, who knows what all they'll have to do. But you can't just run back and forth. You know, when you're at Canada, you got to get it all done while you're up there. So I don't know what all they'll have to do. I don't know if there's wills to take care of. I don't know what they'll have to do. I don't have any idea. But I know there will be things to take care of. And so they may be gone for a while. So if you realize that Dave and Ayesha is gone, they're gone and they may be gone a while. I don't know when they'll be back. But anyway, I thought how awesome that was that those two people, both of them are pastors, both of them loved God, both of them went home to be with Jesus, and they almost were ushered into the kingdom together. Isn't that something? Yeah. You know, within a few hours, I thought to myself, well, there's Bev, you know, he died first. I can just see him standing up there waiting on Tina to say, come on, honey, let's walk into the master together. You know, isn't that something? Because, you know, we're all going to experience that someday, right? And we may not get to go at the same time. Cheryl, now we've made a pact. We're going to go in a rapture together, you know. So there's not going to be any problem. We're going to go together in the rapture, and the rapture is going to be in the not too distant future. I don't know when it is, but we're both so young, you know, we're going to go in the rapture. Praise God. And I will have to say that Jeff looks extremely good for 109, don't y'all think? Extremely good for 109 years of age. Praise the Lord. And of course, if anybody's listening to this on the tape, he's really not 109. He's only 50. 49, actually. But he still looks good, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So today we got something special for you, something we have never done. This is a first-time deal. Now, how many of y'all know that Papa T has lots of daughters and granddaughters? Y'all know that? They're all spiritual. I have a few real granddaughters and grandsons and so forth. Well, today, one of my spiritual granddaughters is going to give us a blessing because Kathy, this is one of my spiritual daughters, and then her daughter, which is my spiritual granddaughter, Caitlin, honey, I want you to come up here, and she's going to quote to us different scriptures out of the book of John, and I think you will be blessed. I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm going to give you a microphone. And just whatever you want to quote to us from wherever. She did tell me she's going to be talking out of the book of John. So you may be amazed at what this young girl can do. So just welcome her in here. She tells us about Jesus.
John chapter 1, verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was like flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he of whom I said, After me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 1 says, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus answered, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John chapter 9, verse 1 says, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sense. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that makes me feel terrible. One of my 15-year-old granddaughters, spiritual granddaughters, I will have to say that this precious little girl, in her walk with God, has memorized over 1,000 scriptures from God's Word. You know, that ought to inspire us to do something. You know, to learn scripture. In fact, I told yesterday in the healing school that Kim and Scott's little girl, she's only 8 years old. She stood before the church the other day and started in Genesis and went all the way through Revelation and never missed a single book of God's Word, 8 years old. Isn't that something? It's amazing what these children are doing. I think that God is doing something with these children to let us older people realize that we need to get off our duff and go to work. I was down talking to a bunch of boys at a Baptist church the other day, and as I was talking with those boys, I said something about something, and one of them said something about the Cowboys, and I said, well, do you guys know who the quarterback is for the Dallas Cowboys? And guess how many of those boys knew who that quarterback was? Every one of them knew who the quarterback was for the Dallas Cowboys. And they knew a lot of statistics about him, too. And I said, well, how many of you boys can name for me all of the 12 apostles? And not one of them, not one of them could do that. And I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? Where our interests are, you know, that's where we put all of our efforts. So I can only imagine what God's going to do with Caitlin. Of course, it's unique that my spiritual granddaughter's name is Caitlin, as well as my granddaughter's name is Caitlin. I got two Caitlins, so I thank God for these two girls, you know, all these girls, you know, but I thank God, you know, that He has blessed us with these daughters and these spiritual daughters and spiritual granddaughters. There's not anything that blesses a man's heart more than when you get my age, that when your children, just like this morning, my son, he's getting ready to have an event down in San Antonio. They're leaving this afternoon to drive down there with several trucks and trailers and all kinds of stuff to put on an event in San Antonio. And when he walked in my office this morning, he wanted me to pray for them to have a safe trip and everything would go fine. And I thought, I can't think of anything better to do than your son walks in and asks Dad to pray for him. And then, of course, Kathy and Caitlin came in this morning and asked me to pray for her before she quoted these scriptures. And then, of course, everything in the world that could go wrong goes wrong, you know, to throw her off. But she didn't get thrown off, did she? She just went right on through and all of that. So that's awesome when we see a demonstration of the Spirit's power like this in our young people. You know, our young people today don't know God. They've heard about Him, but they don't know Him. I think about a little lady from Canada that came down and spent a couple months with us this year. And she told me when she got here, I asked her, had she memorized any scripture? And she said, yes, I have. And I said, have you memorized any books of the Bible? And she said, I memorized the entire book of Romans. Now, that says something. You know that? She had memorized the entire book of Romans. So I said, wow, you must really understand law and grace. She said, what? I said, the law and grace. I said, the whole book of Romans is about law and grace, but especially the first eight chapters. I said, it's all about law and grace. I said, if you memorized it, you must have quoted it thousands of times. So I said, you know, you must really understand law and grace. And she said, I didn't realize it was about law and grace. And so I told her, I said, honey, I'll tell you what I want you to do while you're here with us this summer. When you're not working, I want you to go outside and sit in the swing. I want you to sit down with God's Word, and I want you to ask this question. Father, in Jesus' name, give me revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from your Word as I read it and study it. I said, and you will learn something about the book of Romans, I guarantee it, that you've never seen before. Well, a couple of afternoons later, I was out there and she was sitting there and she was up to about chapter 3 or 4 or something. And I says, well, did you pray like I told you? She said, I did. I said, have you learned anything? She said, Pastor, it's like I'm reading the book of Romans for the first time in my life. Now, what happens when you ask God for wisdom and knowledge and understanding? What does He do? He does it. He said in His Word, I know what you have need of before you ask. So if you don't ask, then you'll go through life and you'll never understand God's Word. You'll never understand it. And today, by far today, we have far too many people that were raised up in a Christian home that did not have a dad that walked in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So they don't go ask their dad to pray for them. You know, I mean, Dave and I flew down to Houston here a while back to pick up a little piece of equipment we needed for the ministry and used the company's courtesy car and drove over to the place of business where we bought the item, and then we come back. So we had it within just a few hours. But when we got there, he first come out and said, do you need anything? I said, yeah, we need a little fuel. I said, are you a Christian? He said, well, I used to be. When I said that, Dave said, you must have went to college. He said, you were raised in a good Christian home, wasn't you? And he said, yes, I was. Dad, Mom went to church. He said, so you went to college, didn't you? He said, well, yeah, I did. And he said, that's where you got in with a bunch of professors that intimidated you and told you that there was no God, and so you believed them instead of God. And he said, well, I'm totally confused. I'm not sure there is a God. Well, let me tell you, we are losing our young people today for several reasons. Number one, we're losing them because we, as the men and women, the parents and the grandparents, are not doing what Paul told us to do in 1 Corinthians. We are not walking in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Now, when you, as a parent, when you walk with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, your children, I take Kim and Scott, since they've been with us, they have learned to walk in this being led by the Spirit, not the flesh anymore, but by the Spirit. And as they're led by the Spirit, everything they do in their business, they may be out doing some lawn work or something for somebody, mowing or whatever, and all of a sudden a big storm comes up and they'll just stop and pray. Lord, we need one more hour to get this done, and then we get our equipment put in the trailer and the doors closed. Then you can let it rain. But we want the rain to hold off for one more hour, and then we can be through. And the children are there, and the children see Mom and Dad pray like this. They even pray with them. And then the storm, everybody said, you know, it's the lightning is all out there. You better, that's going to be okay. There ain't going to be no problem. And so they get the lawn done, get it all done. And many a time they've shared with me, they roll the tractors inside, pull the door down, and crash. It starts raining by the time they get to the door of the pickup. Is that right?
Amen.
That's happened several times with them. But see, they've learned the kingdom belongs to them. Most of us don't know that God gave us it. You know, Luke 12, 32, he clearly said, my children, it gives me great pleasure to give to you the kingdom. We don't know the kingdom belongs to us. We don't know the knowledge and wisdom. When we don't stay tuned in, we're going to be just like King Asa was. Yesterday we read a little bit about King Asa. And you know, like I've said many times, everything's going good. You got an army of 300,000 men and a bunch of chariots and everything. Everything's good. Who needs God? You know, I mean, money in the bank and your bills are paid and you got men to protect you and chariots running around there and 300,000 men. Woo, can you imagine looking out over 300,000 men? What that would be? You think, man, I'm safe. And then you have to look up on a hill and there's another nation coming against you and they have 1,000 soldiers. Not 300,000, but 1,000,000. Now then, all of a sudden, King Asa decided to pray. Would that be a good time to pray? You know, when things are not going so good, it's time to pray. But no, it's always time to pray, isn't it?
Amen.
It's always time to pray. So Asa, as we saw in the scripture yesterday, he prayed and asked the Lord to fight his battle for him. And what did he do? God did it. He fought the battle and everything. Oh, I got tickled yesterday too. Miss Jackie, she repented to the Lord. She told me yesterday when I said, there's really only one thing wrong with most Christian men today. She said, yes, they're all a bunch of wimps. And then the Lord convicted her on the way home last night after the evening school that not all of his men are wimps. And she had to repent. Because they're not all wimps, are they, Miss Jackie? We have some great men of God, but by far there's too many of them wimps, aren't they? You know, the men that won't pray with you. And so the children grow up not seeing a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Now then, if this young boy down at Houston the other day, where Dave and I went to pick up that equipment, if he had been raised in a home that had seen Daddy pray for things and the son knew that he saw these things after Dad prayed, or when one of the children gets sick or anything, Dad's in there with the Word of God, reading it, quoting it to the Father in the name of Jesus, laying hands on his children and praying for them, and then guaranteeing the children's going to be well when they wake up in the morning. And when you see that, when you've lived in that 20, 15, 20, 30, 40 years of your life, like my son, he's 38. And I will have to say that when he was 18 or 19, he had a problem with the miracles that I walked in because he lived too much in the world. I remember the day that he and I was down here in the pasture trying to get that great big bull out of the pasture. You know, a big 1,500-pound Brangus bull had torn my fence down, and he come across over there where my herd of cows was, and Tim and I was trying to get him out. We couldn't get him out. I mean, he was not going to leave. I mean, I tried everything. Tim finally told me, said, Dad, we're going to have to go get a couple more horses and a couple more guys. We ain't never going to get this big beast out of here until we have some more help. I said, son, we have help that you don't know about. He said, what do you mean? I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, send me an angel. Now, did the scripture say angels are ministering spirits to minister for those of us that will accept salvation?
Amen.
So angels are for you, right? But if you don't ever ask for one, guess what you get? Nothing. And so I said, Father, send me an angel. And then I said, Lord, thank you. And then I said, angel, I mean, I'm talking to him just like he's standing right there in front of me because I believe he is. I said, angel, I want you to go over there and grab that bull by the nape of the neck, and I want you to pick up his neck and lead him out of that herd of cows right over there to that fence. Then I want you to turn him north down that fence and walk him all the way to the far end down there where I got a gate open. You walk him through the gate, and then I'll go down and close the gate. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, angel. So we started toward the herd of cows. That bull was standing right in the middle of that herd of cows. He picked his head up just like that. He walked just as straight where I'd pointed my finger to that fence. He turned down that fence, and Tim and I was walking about as far from here to the back of the building behind him, and he never even looks back. I mean, he just goes right down that fence, and I'll never forget what Tim said. We're walking along. He said, Dad, this is another one of your wild stories that if I wasn't here to see this, I would never have believed this. Now then, why do we not believe these wild stories? Because we're not tuned in enough with God. You know, if we're tuned in with God, we should all have wild stories. If somebody says, we should be like the group of the guys that, wow, if you think that's something, let me tell you what God did for me, you know. And then we listen to him, and then the guy said, well, if you think that's, then we, it's like a group of men trying to tell the biggest story. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be attached to a group of men that had these kind of wild stories all about Jesus? But they're out here, and they're there, and we need to learn to walk in this. So I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 1, and we're going to go a little bit down through the scriptures. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Some people do come to you with such big words you can't understand them. But Paul didn't do that, and I don't do that. You know, whenever I was working with Bill Gothard and his ministries for that little short period of time there several years ago, Bill had one thing to say about my faith. He said I had the greatest faith any man he had ever met. And I saw greater miracles than any man he had ever seen. But he said, Thurman, if I could just polish up your English, he said, you could be a great speaker. I told him, I said, sir, I'm glad God don't care how I talk. You know, I'm from Texas, and I use the Texas drawl and whatever, and so I don't care. And obviously, God doesn't make it doesn't make a difference how I say it. He does it. So I realized that God's not wanting me to polish up my English. He wants me to polish up my holiness and righteousness. He wants me to walk holy and obedient to his word. And so he says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now then, if that's all we're interested in is knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified, we're on the right path. You don't need anything other than Jesus. Is that right? That's all you need is Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you've got that and you know that, it makes no difference what kind of language you, what kind of English or Texas English or Boston English or anything else. In fact, I'm probably as crude on the Texas side of English as anybody you've ever seen. But I remember one time when I was first started flying, I was flying out of New York City, and the other two guys in the crew were both New Yorkers, and we were headed up toward Boston. And, of course, I'm talking with these guys, and these two guys looked at each other and said, you know, I believe I detect a little bit of Boston in him, don't you? I didn't know they were making fun of me. Because if there's one thing that's not in me, there's no New York or Boston in me. You know, if you want to know where I come from, all I got to do is open my mouth, and if you've ever been to Texas, you know where I come from. I'm from Texas. And I'm not ashamed of that. You know, that's just the way I am, and that's the way everything's okay. So I don't have a problem with that. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all I want to know. Verse 3 and 4. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, you know, if you and I preach His Word, and every daddy and granddaddy is a preacher. He has a host to preach to and his family. He ought to be preaching and teaching the Word of God to his family. But you know, the enemy has done a really good job on us to get us as men away from the Word of God and get us out there doing something else. I mean, you know how busy most daddies are today? You know how many hours they spend working trying to make, I guess I'd say, their first million, right? Everybody's trying to make that first million. Well, let me tell you, folks, I give up on my first million a long time ago. I'm working on my fourth or fifth one. You know, so I don't know what I'm working on, but I ain't there. But who could care? Who could care less about money? You know, yeah, you have to have it, but I'm going to tell you what. If God's ever ready for you to have $1 million, He'll give it to you. Amen. You know, and, you know, yesterday when Jeff said some stuff, it really changed the way I look at things. Jeff said yesterday, and he said lots of things about statistics, but the one that I remember that stuck with me, and I guess it's because my wife loves hot water so much. You know, when she takes a bath, she loves hot water. She bathes in water so hot I can't hardly hold my hand under it. Wow, does this girl love hot water. She washes her hair in hot water. She loves hot water. So I knew when I built us that little apartment, I built everywhere else I built them with a 30-gallon hot water heater, but for her, I put a 40-gallon. But she told me this last week, you're going to have to change the hot water heater and put a 50-gallon because I ran out of hot water before I got through bathing and washing my hair. I told her, woman, if you can't wash in 40 gallons of hot water, you're going to have to learn to take a bath in cold water. Oh, goodness gracious. That's not loving your wife, she says. I will have to say, I'd hate to send her, one of the ladies that works for us, they didn't have a place to stay either, her and her daughter. So I had a really nice travel trailer that has a couple of slide outs on it, but still a travel trailer is not very big. But I let those two girls stay in my travel trailer. And that's one thing they learned real quick. In fact, when I went over there, I said, how are y'all doing? The daughter, she said, well, I found out one thing. I can't take a bath very long. It's got to be quick. She said, that thing runs out of hot water almost immediately. Well, it's only got 5 gallons. But, you know, 5 gallons, that's a big bucket of hot water. You know, but when you turn that on, like I told her, I said, well, honey, what you got to do? You got to turn the water on. As soon as it gets hot, you got to jump in there and get wet, and then you got to turn it off. Then you got to put the soap on and soap and wash and do everything, get your rag, did all, and then after you get that done, you turn it back on and jump back in there and rinse off right quick. I said, that's the way you do it. Now see, some people never have to go through those kind of things in their life. So when Jeff made that statement yesterday about the statistics that only 5% of the people in the world have hot running water in their house, and you're one of them, Mary. Isn't that wonderful? You're one of them, Tony. Isn't that nice? And don't you love running hot water? See, we have no idea how blessed we are in America. And when Jeff said only 5% of the people in the world have hot running water in their house, I bet you if I ask y'all how many people have hot water, all of you would tell me you probably have hot running water. But there's a little lady that goes to our church here one day. She lives in a little mobile home, little bitty one. And I said something to her about her house or whatever. And she said, I've got to find somebody that can fix my hot water. I said, what's wrong with it? She said, well, I don't have any. Something's wrong with my hot water heater or whatever. And it just, my electric or something is burnt up. She said, I had a man come look at it. And he said, it couldn't be fixed. And so she said, I don't have any hot water. I said, well, how long have you been out of hot water? She said, 2 years. I said, so how do you take a bath? She said, in a pan on the stove, I heat the water, and then I take a wet rag, and I that's how I take a bath. I thought, this girl takes a bath in a little bitty pan about this big around full of hot water she eats on the stove. I felt so sorry for her. I told her, I said, honey, tell me where you live, and I will bring one of my guys with me tomorrow, and we'll go look at your home and see what's wrong with it. So she gave me her address. I went up there, me and another guy. And when we got there, of course, she was out working. She wasn't at home. So we got there, and I checked it. And, of course, while I was checking, there were several wires burned up in a breaker box on the back of it. And the neighbor come across and he said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm come up here to see if I can fix her hot water. Oh, he said, that mess of stuff that's like a den of snakes back there in the back of that thing. He said, all them wires are burned up. He said, there ain't nobody can fix that. I said, sir, you've run into a man that don't have those kind of words in his vocabulary. That's not in my vocabulary. I said, why don't you just go back home and leave me alone and I'll fix this. So he said, okay. I said, I really don't need your help. You know, so when I got a man that everything he says is negative, guess what? I don't need him, do we? So I sent him home. And so within the next 30 minutes to an hour, I completely rewired that breaker box and put some new breakers in it and everything and got her all fixed up. And that night when she come home, she said, that's the first time in years that ever plug inside of her house worked. But everything worked. Now I thought to myself, if you were to ask this lady, do you think Thurman can fix the electricity in your home? What do you think she would say? Now she's completely convinced that I can do it. What I'm trying to say here, we need to walk in that kind of power in the spirit world so that when we pray for people, we see miracles happen so that our children and those around us will say, if you need a prayer, go over and see that man. He can pray for you and I guarantee God will answer your prayer. Yep. Now, is that the way we need to be known? Yes. As men and women, my hat's off to the women that get in here, but really it's men that God needs to use for this. Men need to be the ones that's praying the prayer of faith. I think about a man that was a member of the Baptist church up here, and he had a bone spur in his body. And his wife called me and said, Thurman, they said that this bone spur my husband's got in the back of his neck could be severe and he could die from this thing. Would you come pray for him? Now, why do you think this woman called me? Because she had seen answers to prayer before. And so she knew that when I prayed, God answered my prayer. And so I asked where he was. She told me what hospital he's in. So I go over there, and when I walk into the hospital room, there was a couple of pastors there. This was a very godly man. There was a couple of pastors there. There was several family members in there and everything else. And I just kind of walked my way in and walked right up to his bed. And I looked at him and I said, you want to live or die? He said, well, Thurman, I want to live. I said, okay, then I want you to repent of every sin and all your sins of unbelief. And he did. I said, now then, I reached over and laid my hands on him. I said, according to Mark 16:18, it says I can cast out demons. I said, you demons of hell that's attacking this man, I command you to come out of him. I said, now the word of God clearly says lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. I said, it's done. Praise God. I said, I'll see y'all later. And I walked out. One of those pastors looked over at his wife and said, who was that guy? They wasn't doing nothing. They was all standing around, you know, drinking coffee and whatever. I went up there with a motive. I went up there with a goal. I went up there to stand on God's word to see that man healed. Well, do you know what? A couple of days later, they released him in the hospital, and he's still alive and well today. He's never had a problem since then. Now, see, that's the same woman that after she saw all this, that's the same woman that saw me in Home Depot here a while back and asked me to pray for her brother. You know, here I'm getting some stuff and all. She said, oh, Thurman Scrivener. Turn around. I said, oh, ma'am, how are you doing? She said, I'm great. But she said, you know, I've got a brother now I need you to pray for. I said, what's his name? She told me. I said, what's wrong with him? She told me. So I just throwed both hands up in the air and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I remit so-and-so's sins in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, thank you that in John 20:23, you said I can remit people's sins, and whosoever sins I remit, they're remitted. So I thank you, Lord, he's forgiven. I said, now, Lord, you said in John 14:13-14, anything I ask in the name of Jesus, you'll do for me. So, Father, thank you for healing this man. It's done in Jesus' name. And I turned around to look at her, and she was white as a sheet. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, I had no idea you was going to do it right here in Home Depot, out loud. Well, I mean, if you're a man that's led by a demonstration of the Spirit's power and somebody asks you to pray, what are you going to do? Pray. Yeah, if you don't pray, guess how many answers you're going to get? No. You ain't never going to get an answer to prayer, Scott, when you don't pray, right? Yeah, you got to pray. I mean, that's what's wrong with us today. But Paul came. He didn't come with enticing words and man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, you see what I'm talking about? If we take get our information from the Word of God, we should walk in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You know, it's just like the other day. Just the other day, I was over here at the shop, and there was a man that knows me pretty well, and he had lost his job. And so as he was there telling me, I walked over to the window when he pulled up. I said, "How's things going, guys?" And he said, "Well, everything's going okay, but," he said, "we're out looking for a job." And of course, my first question, what do you think my first question was? "Have you prayed about it?" Yeah, that's it. "Have you guys prayed about this?" And guess what they said? "No, we have not prayed about it." I said, "Well, then you may not ever find that job." I said, "So Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for forgiving these boys of all their sins." Because see, there's usually no problem finding a sin in somebody's life. You know that? Yeah, we walk in sin. We don't even know what sin is. So anyway, I prayed, asked the Lord to forgive their sins, and then I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, they need a good job and need you right now, so I thank you, Lord, for giving them that job. And it's done in Jesus' name." I said, "Okay, guarantee you'll get a job." 2 weeks later, what it was, he stopped after I was there, and he stopped again. He jumped out of the truck, come over there, this great big old guy, and he had tears running down his cheek. He just grabbed me and hugged me and kissed me on the cheek and said, "Thurman, praise God, thank you." He said, "I had a job within an hour after you prayed." What should we be doing as men? We should be praying in faith, right? Walking holy before the Master so that people will see a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power in our life, just like he did in Paul's life. Is that where we should be walking? Absolutely. Okay, let's go on to the next verse. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, if your faith is standing in the power of God, do you know why most people come to this church for their healing? Because somebody has told them that they've seen miracles at this place. You know that? Amen. Nearly everybody that comes here, I mean, I think about Mike and Gracie over here. I love to tell their story. They're good church people, you know. They didn't walk in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. They didn't go to a church that walked in that. But they love God. And then after many years, there was a problem with their church, and so they left there, and somehow they wound up with us. And they started hearing me talk about these wonderful things. Now, Mike had problem with his back for years. I mean, you know, he's a mechanic, and he lifts things. So I know what that's like to be down in your back, because I used to have the same thing when I was a mechanic, and I worked as a mechanic many years, but I was down in my back 6 or 8 times in all those years, too. But I never learned how to pray. Nobody ever told me. And so just like them. And so they were redoing their bathroom one day, and Mike was working with the mud and everything, and finally, I think it was about noon, he says, "Honey, I can't go no more." He said, "My back is killing me." And she says, "You know, honey, Pastor Thurman has been showing us that this scripture in Matthew 18:19 says, if we are two of us on earth agree about anything we ask him for, he'll do it." She said, "Why don't we use that?" Now, they had never done that before. And they did that, and Gracie prayed for her husband. And as Mike says, in one heartbeat, his back was healed. And he ain't never had no more back trouble, right? Is God good, Gracie? You see, now that's a demonstration of the Spirit's power. See, y'all, and I'm sure you have told many people about that since, right? Constantly telling people, because people need to know what Jesus is doing everywhere, right? When he answers a prayer for us, for goodness sakes, don't lock it up in a closet somewhere. I mean, be telling everybody what Jesus done for you. In fact, I was telling the guys yesterday at dinner, I said, "You know, I'm thinking about going back to college." Because we have so many professors now that tell you that God's dead, he don't live. I said, "Boy, I'd like to just tear into the whole bunch of them." Do you think there is anybody out there can convince me that Jesus Christ don't live? No. There ain't nobody. I mean, I've seen a demonstration of his power. I have prayed the prayer of faith for thousands of people and seen awesome miracles. Even seen one man raised from the dead. Of course, he had been dead for 30 minutes. But that's pretty awesome. You know that? Yeah. I got to pray for that guy. He'd been dead 30 minutes. And, of course, whenever the paramedic called me, because the guy worked for me, when the paramedic called me, and, of course, the guy was a Church of Christ. He went to a Church of Christ. You know, in Church of Christ, you usually don't believe the power of God's Word. That's unfortunate. I went to a Baptist church, and they didn't believe it either, so no big deal. But anyway, this night when I'm laying here in bed, when this paramedic called me and said, "Thurman, we lost this man about a half hour ago. We have no pulse or heartbeat." I said, "Well, let's pray." It's a Thurman. It's too late to pray. He's dead. Now, I guess that's what God would have told Ezekiel when he asked Ezekiel. Ezekiel, do you believe this valley of dry bones can live? Now, these people have been dead for years. There's dry bones out there. Y'all have read that story, right? Dry bones. When God says, Ezekiel, do you think these bones can live? And Ezekiel said, oh, God, only you know. Well, that's right. So he said, well, speak to him and command bone to come to bone. And Ezekiel spoke and bone came to bone. Now, that means that if you had been one of those that were dead and your bones were scattered all over the place, her bone didn't come to your bone came to your bone. And then he asked him if he believed they could put tissues and sinews and everything on the body. And by this time, Ezekiel's seeing an army of skeletons standing there. Oh, God, only you know. He said, well, command it, speak it. And he did. And then he said, now, do you think they can live? And he said, oh, God, only you know this. Wow. And he said, so he speak, command breath to be in them. And it became an army of living men. I mean, I'd read all those scriptures, so I know with God what's impossible. Nothing. So if I pray, I can only make a fool out of myself. But, you know, if God don't do something, well, hey, at least I did what I could do. So I rebuked the spirit of death. He said, Thurman, it's too late. I said, it ain't never too late with God. Never. I mean, this guy's still laying here. He's not even hard yet. He's still warm. He's only been dead 30 minutes. I mean, good grief, a man don't even get hard for over an hour or two. The rigor mortis starts setting in. And by the next morning, yeah, you got a corpse there that's kind of hard and, you know, not too easy to get along with. But, you know, that's he may not listen to you as much, but this guy's still warm, you know. So he's only been dead a half hour. So I can have great faith. I said, I rebuke the spirit of death and I command the spirit of life to come back in him in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden this paramedic said, oh my God, I just got a heartbeat. He's breathing again. I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, what are you going to do with him? He said, well, I'm going to take him to Irving to the hospital. I said, okay, I'll get up and come down there. This is 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. So I get up, put on my clothes and drive from right over here at my house all the way to Irving to the hospital, way over there on 183. I finally find the room where he's at, and I walked in, I seen a doctor. I said, is so-and-so here? He said, yes, he is. He's down in room, whatever, 12. I said, how's he doing? He said, well, he'd have been better off if he'd have stayed dead. I said, what do you mean he'd have been better off if he stayed dead? He said, well, the paramedic said he didn't have any heartbeat or pulse for over a half hour. So he said, if the man recovers, he'll be a vegetable. I said, doc, you see them hands? Yeah. I said, the healing power of Jesus is in those hands. What are you talking about? I said, Jesus said in the Word, I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Here I am making an absolute fool out of myself. No, not really. I'm fixing to walk in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You know, I'm going to change people's life because I'm going to obey what the Master told me to do. So the doctor looked at me, and of course, if you could have been there when I said, the healing power of Jesus is in those hands. Yeah, sure. Oh, did he roll his eyes? He's like, that idiot, who does he think he is? But that's the way the world will look at you. I mean, the world does not understand the spiritual things of God. They can't get it. They don't understand it. There's no way they can get it. Until they get born again and get in the Word, you cannot understand these spiritual principles. And so anyway, I walked in. Of course, he was asleep. So I just walked in and I thought, well, I won't wake him up. I just walked over and laid both hands on him and said, be healed in Jesus' name, according to Mark 16:18. I said, thank you, Lord. It's done. I got up and walked out and come home. That man, within 2 weeks, was back at work. He retired from the company we worked for, and that man was in here just a few weeks ago and to come to visit with me. He's still alive and well today. That's been many years ago. Now, I think we should walk in this. He says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, for of the princes of this world. In other words, they didn't understand this thing, because if they did, they would have come to naught. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The wisdom of God is a mystery to the world. It's a mystery to most of the church. It was a mystery to me. I have been a Christian since I was 11. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior in a little Baptist church in Cross Plains, Texas, when I was 11 years old. And I'm telling you, until I got to be about 35, the kingdom of God was a mystery to me. I didn't understand any of these things that I teach to you today that I understand so easily. But he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even in the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world into our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. When he says none of the princes of this world, who is he talking about there? He's talking about the devil and his host of demons. See, you can read these scriptures, and until God gives you revelation and understanding, you don't know who these people are or who these beings are. But he says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. When somebody says, the Jews crucified Jesus. No, they didn't crucify Jesus. The demons of hell in them was the one who crucified Jesus. If you could have taken the people of Israel and cleaned them all out of demons, those people that had walked with God, walked with Jesus Christ in the last 3 years, they didn't hate him, ladies and gentlemen. They loved him. They would have done anything for him. But it was only that group of people that were possessed by the forces of darkness. Now then, if you saw the passion and you were paying attention, they had a better demonstration of the demons in people in that movie than any I've ever seen. Y'all saw that. You know what I mean, right? You could literally see the people that had demons in them. You could tell who they were. Just like when you go out there and look at Jenna on that picture out there of that little girl that was sick and afflicted for all those years, 8 years. When you look at Jenna, when you see all the sores on her face and around her eyes, if you look very intently at all, you can literally see and understand that's demons inside that little body. Those are demons that's making that little girl sick. But once her mother got rid of that sin, once we found the sin and the mother repented of that sin, I broke that curse, cast out them demons, prayed the prayer of faith for her, and within 2 weeks, that little girl is that beautiful little girl in the pictures on the left. So you see, you have to get rid of these demons. These demons, if these guys had have known what they were doing, these guys had no knowledge of this mystery, the hidden mystery of God, that he was going to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross for anybody's sins that would believe in him and give us total power and authority over the forces of darkness. The average person did not know that. The average person today doesn't know that. But in this time, none of the demons of hell knew this. Because if you thought for a second that if you crucified Jesus, it was going to cost you your power and authority, nobody would crucify him, would they? But he did. That's what they didn't know. They didn't understand this mystery that had been hidden before the foundations of the world, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2:9, I have heard many, many people quote this verse. Even when Clinton ran for the presidency, he quoted this verse. Listen to what it says. But as it is written, your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. I used to have a pastor, a Baptist preacher. His wife was always standing at the back door with him, shaking hands with people when we left. And I don't know how many times I heard her quote that verse. Finally, one day I asked her, I said, ma'am, do you have any idea of what verse 10 says? She says, no. I said, well, that tells me you're carnal. You're carnal. That's where most of us live. We are very carnal. You know, I mean, people read that, but as it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So they'll turn around and say, see, there, it's impossible to know it. Is that what you hear people say? It's impossible for us to know these things? And it is if you don't get into the spirit world. But look what it says in the next verse, verse 10. But But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So if you're a child of God and you're walking, being led by the Spirit, and you pray, just like the little girl that had learned the entire book of Romans and had no idea what law and grace was, none whatsoever. And then I told her, I said, honey, you go pray and ask God to give you revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from those verses, and you sit down and read the book of Romans slowly, prayerfully, and let it talk to you. And boy, 2 days later, she was dumbfounded at what she'd learned. Isn't that amazing? So can we memorize something and still not know what it says?
Right.
Oh, yeah, you can memorize the Word of God and still not know what it says. When you start memorizing and learning the Word of God, the prayer should always be, Lord, in Jesus' name, reveal to me the truths of this magnificent book. Reveal to me Your Word. Give me the knowledge I need, the wisdom I need, the spiritual understanding I need, so that I can use these, so I can lock these words in my heart, and they will be there forever in the name of Jesus. And then, who knows, it may be 10 or 20 or 30 years later, He'll pull one of them verses out, and somebody will say something, and you'll jump up and quote a verse, and you think, where did that come from? Many of you in here has had that experience, I'm sure. You think, wow, where did that come from? Well, it was in there. You had learned it. And you asked God to use you, and He did. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So what does God know? Everything. And if we're being led by the Spirit, He'll reveal it to us. Verse 11 and 12. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now then, if you don't get in the Word and start researching the Word and studying the Word and praying over the Word, that verse will never become a reality to you. You will never learn these things. You will never have the faith to lay hands on somebody. I can remember, I'm going to tell a story on Kathy. When we were building this building, she learned a lot about the demonstration of the Spirit's power. We were out there one morning about 10 o'clock, and she said, well, Pastor, said, you don't have any help today. I said, well, Kathy, up until now, I hadn't needed any help. I said, I'm able to do everything by myself right now. But I said, in about an hour, I'm going to need 2 men to help me. She said, well, who are they? I said, I don't know. God's going to send them. She said, you mean you don't even know who's coming? I says, no. But I prayed and asked God to send me 2 men at 11 o'clock to help me. So at 11 o'clock, guess what? She's out there looking. It's 11 o'clock. I said, oh, yeah, Kathy. I said, I believe I see one turning in up there right now. She looked and she said, I believe it is. And so we stand out there. She stands right there with me. And this car pulls down the road and comes up. And a guy pulls up out there and gets out and says, Pastor, I didn't have anything to do today. And I got to thinking, maybe you might need some help. You need any help today? Kathy looked at me and she said, wow. I said, yes, sir, I need some help. And she said, okay, Pastor, that's number one. Where's the other one? I said, oh, I believe I see him turning in up there right now. We stood there, and a few minutes later, the guy pulled. He said, Pastor, I didn't have nothing to do today. I thought I'd come help you. You need any help today? Kathy just, she said, I see what you mean. She just goes back in the house. Now, see, if we all walked in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, our children, our daughters, our spiritual daughters, our spiritual granddaughters would see us walk in that power. Does God tell us we can do those kind of things as men?
Yes.
He said, I can ask for what?
Anything
if I believe, and He'll do it for me. So, but I loved it when Kathy got to see that day. I loved it. You know, I just love to be able to tell people something's going to happen and then see it happen. Don't you, Scott, don't you love that? Don't you, when y'all pray for something when you're out mowing or something or whatever, and you pray and your children are there and it happens just like you prayed, and the children say, wow, if you need a prayer answer, you need to go talk to my daddy. That's where every child should live. Unfortunately, most of them don't live there. Most of them don't have those kind of daddies. They don't have daddies that are in the Word of God. They don't have daddies that know the Word. They're too busy in the world. And ladies and gentlemen, this kind of power is not in the world. This is only in Jesus. That's the only place you can get this. The only place you can get your healing is from Jesus. You can't get it nowhere else. He's the only healer in the world. You know, doctors cut on us. They do the best they can. But the only way to really get healed is to find out what your sin is, repent of your sin, and then come to God on one of His promises by faith, and then have some man or woman of faith pray for you and then stand on His promises. That's just like Jack Butler. Jack's not here today, but Jack's usually here. Jack is a doctor. And when I met Jack, he had a problem with his back. And I told him, in fact, Rosemary sent him out here. She'd been giving him some massages or whatever, trying to help him, and she couldn't help him. So she said, go out and see Thurman Scrivener at the Living Savior Church, and God will heal you. So he come out here as a Baptist, and he listened to me teach the Word. And so he said, I got a back problem. And I said, how long you had it? He told me. I said, well, have you committed any kind of sins? And he said, well, I guess. I don't everybody sin? I said, no, they do not. I said, how are you and your wife getting along? He said, well, not too good. I said, well, there's a sin. There's a problem. He said, when a husband don't get along with his wife, God said, I won't answer your prayer. Isn't that something? If ever a man knew that, he'd get along with his wife, right? He'd make an effort to get along with him. If either that or you don't get your prayers answered. And since God said that, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's a true statement. And so anyway, I told Jack, I said, if you'll repent of your sins, I'll pray for you, and I guarantee God will heal you. Well, he said, maybe it's his will, maybe it's not his will. I said, no, Jack, you've been in the Baptist church? He said, yeah. I said, you've been there too long. I said, you know, you've heard this too many, you know, if it be your will. I said, no, God's will is to heal His children. Amen. There's no doubt. I said, all He wants you to do is repent. I'll pray for you. The prayer of faith, I guarantee if you'll continue to worship and praise Him, God will heal you. So standing right back there, I prayed for Jack, and Jack walked out. And the next 2 Sundays later, he came back, and he come back, and he says, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for that pain in my back. I said, well, quit looking for it. He said, well, it's not there. I said, well, when did it go away? He said, I did not quite get to my car when I left last Sunday when my pain was gone. And he said, I have not had a pain in 2 weeks. I said, so you're going to walk in love and walk in obedience to God's word, are you not? He said, yes, I had no idea. You know, so then he said, after a few Sundays of coming here and listening to me teach the word, he said, I want you to pray for this big old tumor on the back of my hand. I said, how long you had it? He said, 41 years. I said, now, Jack, you got to make sure you've repented of all sin. He said, I have. He said, there's no sin. I've got rid of all sin, even the sins of unbelief. I said, you know you have to believe with no doubt in your heart or it won't ever work. He said, I know that. I saw those scriptures you presented on the board. So he said, I believe. You pray for me and it's done. So I reached over and laid hands on that big old puffy tumor he'd had for 41 years and broke the curse over him, removed it, commanded it to be gone in Jesus' name and everything. I said, now it's done. And he left thanking the Lord that it's done. Next Sunday he came in. I said, how's the tumor? He said, oh, it's gone. I said, well, praise God. Let me see it. And he stuck his hand down there. And I said, Jack, you're lying. It's still there. He said, no, Thurman, I'm not lying. I'm just lining myself up with the Word. The Word said it's gone. He said, oh, it's still there. But he said, you know, but the Word says it's gone. So I'm believing it's gone. Every time I'd ask him, how's the tumor? He said, it's gone. I said, let me see it. And I said, oh, still there. He said, yeah, but it's gone. About 9 months later, and the whole thing. One day he was in. I said, how's the tumor? He said, oh, it's gone. I said, let me see it. He stuck his hand out there and I said, glory to God, it's really gone. He said, Thurman, why are you so excited? I've been telling you for 8 months, it's gone. But see, he believed and it went away. You know, now, is that the way God works?
That's right.
That's the way God works, you know. So most of us today, we're prayed for, we repent of our sin, and then if it don't happen in 30 seconds, well, it wasn't God's will. No, you don't never, you know, God may be doing something. Just like Dave, when we prayed for Dave, he had that incurable disease for 40 years. It took Dave 20 months to get healed, but he did not stand. He stood on the promises of God, the best he knew how. And of course, when Dave got through, he came to me and said, Pastor, why did it take so long for me to get healed? I said, Dave, only God knows that. I don't know. I said, ask him. So he went to the Lord and said, Lord, I need to know why it took me so long. I've seen you heal people when Thurman prayed for many of them just in nothing flat. I want to know why it took me 20 months to get healed. And the Lord says, Dave, the reason it took 20 months is because I don't know who you are. Now, is that what you want to hear God say to you? He said, Lord, what do you mean you don't know who I am? Lord, I go to church every Sunday. I tithe. You know, I read the Word. He said, yes, I know, Dave. I know everything about you. He said, when you say you read the Word, he said, you may spend 15 or 20 minutes a week in the Word. He said, you don't know me. I don't know you. He said, well, Lord, how much time should I spend in the Word? He said, you know, a couple of hours, a tithe, 2.5 hours or something a day. That would be a good place to start. He said, Lord, what if I'd been spending 2.5 hours a day in the Word? He said, then your healing would have been very speedily. That's a good word. You know that? So if you're having trouble getting healed, what do you need to do? Spend more time with God in the Word, right? You need to be intimate with Him. You need to quote His Word and do what He says. And then He will heal you. And, of course, that it works. I've seen it many times. Verse 13 and 14. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If you go to a church where the pastor is not spending any time with God, he can't teach you spiritual principles. He has to get these things from God. And if God don't give them to him, he don't have them. Many a year of my life, I didn't have them. And there may be still some days I don't have them. But some days I do have them. And when I do have those, I mean, wow, I love it when God shows up. Oh, how I love it. You know, I've told this story many times, but standing right here just a year ago, there was a 73 or 4-year-old lady from Amarillo standing right here, and she had a big tumor on her right shoulder. And she came up waving her finger in my face. She couldn't raise this arm, but she could the left one. And I said, ma'am, what do you need? And she said, I had my daughter bring me here from Amarillo, and I told her, if you will take me down there and let Pastor Thurman pray for me, I guarantee when he touches me in the name of Jesus, Jesus is going to heal me. When she spoke that to me, standing right there with slinging her finger, she nearly touched my nose, but she never did quite touch it. I thought to myself, who does that remind you of in the Scripture? The woman with the issue of blood? She's dragging through the crowd, saying within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know he will heal me. Is that what she said? Is that faith? Yes, that's exactly what it is. And so she said, and I know when you touch me in the name of Jesus, he's going to heal me. So I took this hand, reached up and laid on her shoulder, and there was a big old soft tumor under her dress. I could just feel that soft thing. I said, in the name of Jesus, and that's all I got out. The soft tumor under her dress became a normal, rigid shoulder. And then her arm went straight up in the air. And her daughter standing right beside her said, Mama, you couldn't do that. She said, I know I couldn't, but I told you, if you take me there and let him pray for me, I guaranteed you my Jesus would heal me. And he did. He showed up for her. We got to see that. You saw that, didn't you, Kim? Don't you love it when God shows up? I love it. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I love it when God shows up and does great things for his children. And you know, but some of us, he doesn't heal all of us instantly, but he heals us all. You know, he heals us all. He forgives our sins and heals all of our sicknesses, all of our disease. Now he says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. Do you understand why we don't know these things? Because we don't spend enough time with God. These things are spiritually discerned. What is spirit? The Word of God. Those words that little Caitlin quoted to us a while ago, those are words are life and they're spirit. But the whole Bible is spiritual life. And without that in you, you can't do anything. The more that you have in you, the more dangerous you become. Wow. Every time I think about these spiritually things like this, I think just a little bit of knowledge, how that when we have that little bit of knowledge, what we can do in the name of Jesus. You know, and that's why whenever my son came over a while ago and wanted me to pray for him, for his safety, for all the crew and everything, I was really humbled to think that he believes in my prayer. He has seen the power of God demonstrated through my prayer. In fact, I remember one time all of them over there had something. They had some flu or whatever. He got four kids, you know, him and his wife and four kids. I went over there, and one of them was outside feeling pretty good. And I said, where's the rest of the kids? They said, oh, they're up, granddad upstairs in the bed. They got the flu. I said, what? That's a flu? I said, well, why hadn't somebody come over and got me? I called him. I said, son, they tell me everybody's, and even him, he had a runny nose. I said, I understand all y'all are sick. He said, yes, we are, Dad. I said, well, why didn't you come and get me to pray? He said, Dad, I ain't never going to learn how to do this without doing it myself. Well, is that true? He needs to learn how to pray, and he needs to go through those things, right? If ever time any of them come down with anything, if he just said, oh, Dad, come on and pray for us so we can get healed, and I'll run over there one day, Dad may not be here. And when Dad ain't here, then it's going to be on the next daddy's back, right, Scott? Yep. So you need to be practiced up, right? So when Dad or Papa T or whatever we call him is not around, we need to learn how to pray in faith ourselves, right, Miss Kathy? That's right. Praise God. And she's learning how. Praise the Lord. We need to spend time in God's Word, right? When you spend time in God's Word, you learn, and your faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you get in God's Word, you will learn that His promises are there, that He bore your sickness and removed your disease. And when you really get a hold of that in the spirit world, it will bring healing to your body. You won't have to worry about being sick. You will walk in divine health. And I love it. You know, I just love seeing people get healed. Don't you? Especially when you're one of them, huh? I love it when I get healed, when I have something wrong. And I'm going to tell you what, that by walking in the best I know how with God's Word spiritually, this woman of mine up here, it makes almost no difference what's wrong with her. And I've prayed for her for lots of things. And I don't think, that I cannot think of a single time in my life when God did not answer my prayer for my wife. Is that a good way to be spoiled, honey?
Definitely
a good way to be spoiled. Every woman should be spoiled like that with her husband. Her husband should be such a loving man that when he prays for her, she should get her answers every time. And I will have to say, one time I prayed for a bump on her chest. She, oh, honey, look at this thing. I said, yeah. She said, I don't like that. And she said, I want you to pray.
It was a growth.
A growth, yeah, a little growth. So anyway, I prayed and I cursed it and did everything. And the next day she said, come pray for this again. Okay, so I come prayed for it again. The third day I went and she said, come over here and look at it, it's still here. She says, what sin have you committed? See, she's heard too much teaching, see. What sin have you committed? I said, I haven't sinned. God's just putting you to the test. And so we both repented and prayed one more time. Next day it was gone. So praise the Lord. Okay, let's pass out the communion. Praise the Lord. Y'all come on down. Isn't God good?
He is.
Pat, is He awesome or is He awesome?
He's awesome.
He's awesome. Praise the Lord. We have a Savior and He's here with us today. He promised to never forsake us or never leave us. And of course, when I watch that movie, I mean, every time I see one of those movies where Jesus gets beat, oh my goodness, I think, God, surely I could stand strong for you after what you did for me. He did something awful for us, didn't he? He really took that beating, oh my goodness gracious alive. Wow, what a God, that a Father that would give His only Son for us. Wow, that's beyond my ability to comprehend. I couldn't do that. You know, I mean, for you guys, especially for those of you that are wicked, if the Lord told me if I would give my son's life, He would save those people, I'm sorry, I just couldn't do it. Tony, would that be difficult to give one of your children? Yeah, it would be. It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's just impossible. I couldn't do it. I hope I never have to be faced with that decision. Psalm 103, let's just read the first five verses of Psalm 103. And I want you to see this, so you can't get too much word in you. Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, first of all, when he says, bless the Lord, do you do that?
Yes.
Okay, if you're not doing that, you need to start, especially if you're sick. If you've had a problem, you need to make sure you're blessing the Lord. And, of course, if you're not sick, you still want to do it so you don't get sick. So bless the Lord. Obey the Lord. If he tells us to bless the Lord, that's what we need to do. Verse 3 and 4, it says, who forgives all of our iniquities and who heals how many of our diseases?
All.
See, I mean, God tells us he forgives all of our iniquities or our sins, and then he heals all of our diseases. Who redeems us, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And the next verse 5, who satisfies my youth, my mouth, with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now then, I'm telling you, there's a verse that the whole world's been looking for. Everybody's looking for the fountain of youth. And there it is right there. If you start going through life saying, Lord, I thank you that I'm the body of Christ, and I thank you that you satisfy my mouth with good things and you renew my youth like the eagle, so I'm a young woman. And I'm going to live to be a real young woman. Healthy. You see what I mean? You call God in remembrance of his promises. But you know what we do when we get over 50? You know what the average man, especially men, oh my God, I'm so old. Oh, I don't know whether I'm going to make it to retirement age at 60 or not. Oh, I feel so bad. My arthritis is beginning to act up. Oh, I mean, I just can't believe. And these are Christian people. I can't only imagine what the world talks like. But these are Christian people, you know, that are talking like this. Life and death in the power of the tongue. You know, so when you realize that life and death in the power of the tongue, you'll start claiming these kind of scriptures. Lord, thank you that I'm healed. Thank you that I'm young. Thank you that I can keep going. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to live to be a really young man. You know, I'm not going to die at 70. I'm not going to die. I remember a man I heard one time that he was sick all of his life, and he got healed when he was about 16. And when he got healed, the devil come to him and told him, but now you're going to die. And he put all kinds of pains and everything on him. And so he thought really he was dying. So he said, Lord, I don't understand why you healed me to kill me. I don't understand that. So he really began to pray and seek God. And the Lord told him, he said, that's the enemy testing you. He said, that's not me. He said, I did heal you. But he said, you're yielding to the pain that the enemy's putting on you. And if you continue to yield to it, he will kill you. Yeah. So then he jumped off the edge of the bed and said, Lord, I didn't die at 15. I didn't die at 17. So I ain't going to die at 20. In fact, I'm going to live to be old. I'm going to live to be 30. I'm going to live to be, no, Lord, I ain't going to live to be 30. I'm going to live to be 40. I'm going to live to be 50. Oh, no, Lord, that ain't old enough either. I'm going to live to be 60. The last time I heard him, he said, I'm going to live to be 80. Well, this last year, he died at 87.
Wow.
But yet, he was supposed to have died when he was 15. But because of his confession. And he became a great preacher. And he was a Baptist back in those days. And he's tried to teach these principles to the Baptist church. And he said, I hate to say it, but they gave me the left foot of fellowship. They didn't want to hear. They kicked me out. Isn't that amazing how the church kicks us out when we try to teach the principles of the kingdom? Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but I love the Word of God. And I love it because it works. I love it. It keeps me and Cheryl healed all the time. It provides for us and everything. And wow. Father, I thank you and praise you for your Word. I thank you and praise you for Paul's writings and how he wrote these wonderful things about spiritual principles and how they work so that we can know how to understand and discern the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for Caitlin and how she's learned so much Scripture. And Lord, I ask you to give her revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from your Word as she reads it. May she not only know it just by memorization, but may she know it in her heart. May you open her heart to the wonderful principles of the kingdom of God. Now, Lord, thank you for blessing her and her mom, Kathy. I ask you to use those two girls mightily to do great things for your kingdom. But, Lord, I ask you to bless all of us and use us all this week to do great things for your kingdom. And may all of us, especially the men, but all of us, women and children alike, may we all get a hold of walking in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And may we do things, pray for people to see you do great and mighty things that changes people's life forever. And I praise you and thank you for blessing all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.